Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Fiscal and monetary policy changes are what drives the data behind the 20 components in my inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model. The election of Donald J. Trump will most likely provide for significant fiscal and maybe even monetary policy changes. The political winds are behind lower taxes on corporations, reduced, if not the elimination of taxes on tips and Social Security, huge tariffs on imported goods from China, and a slightly reduced tally on the rest of the globe. Massive reductions in business and banking deregulations, along with the potential deportation of millions of illegal immigrants. This is a prescription for higher growth and higher inflation. And DJT has the House and the Senate behind him. There's very good odds that most of his agenda will get pushed through. This has big implications for investors. Let's start with gold in the immediate term. Gold thrives in recessions and stagflations. In my IDEC model, those are sectors 1, 2, and 5. This is simply because those macroeconomic conditions, recessions and stagflations, offer less competition for gold, which is real money, but one that offers no yield. Recessions can cause nominal rates to fall and lead to weaker earnings for stocks. That makes gold more attractive. And stagflations lead to a drop in real interest rates. Therefore, holding gold, which maintains its purchasing power during inflation spikes, tends to do best when investors lose faith in the value of sovereign bonds and the currency they are expressed in. However, gold hates it when inflation and growth are both rising in tandem. Higher growth and inflation mean nominal and real interest rates are rising, and that is more competition for gold. And with rising growth, equities, which offer price appreciation and most often provide a dividend yield, tend to be a better alternative than an asset like gold that has no yield. It has taken me decades to learn how to trade gold well. Gold can be a wonderful asset to hold in your portfolio. In 3 out of the 5 sectors, it is mandatory to own and does outperform even stocks, as it has done for the past quarter of a century. But at Pinto Portfolio Strategies, we are not wedded to any one asset class. Therefore, we sold all of our silver and all of our gold that we have enjoyed owning for a very long time. Thank you very much. This is nothing more than a short-term tactical maneuver. We'll get back into gold soon. However, and this is a big however, the long-term outlook for gold has never been better. In the coming years, the Fed will be forced to monetize multiple trillions of dollars in government debt. After all, the election of DJT does not eliminate the massive bubbles in credit, real estate, and equities. Their inevitable demise will lead to a recession and maybe even a depression that will send debt and deficits to the thermosphere. This will force the Fed to warehouse a great deal of all of this debt on its balance sheet, meaning real interest rates will be falling along with a crash in the faith of our dollar and treasury market. That is sector 5, where gold thrives the most, but we're not in there now. We're not in a recession. We're not in disinflation. We're in reflation. And that's when gold can really hurt, especially the miners. I think I traded that very well, by the way. Turning quickly to the Fed's meeting last week, Chair Powell cut rates again on November 7th. This time by 25 basis points because borrowing costs are still, according to the FOMC, in restrictive territory. Jerome Powell was asked why he has now cut rates further after cutting them by 50 basis points, even after the election of Trump, which is presumed to be very stimulative for growth and inflation, as we just went through. Powell's response to the reporter's question was that the Fed doesn't comment on fiscal policy. Oh, really? Okay, well, that may be true, but what he failed to mention is that the Fed enables fiscal policies to expand and the debt to GDP ratio to skyrocket by printing trillions of dollars for the purpose of purchasing publicly traded debt and then placing those bonds in cold storage on its balance sheet, thus taking treasuries out of the free market realm and into the realm of no price discovery, where the Fed just buys bonds at any price. Powell was directly asked about the future path of inflation in light of the election of Trump 2.0. After all, wouldn't raising tariffs and lowering taxes and deregulating the economy and having the king of debt and the lover of a weaker dollar at the helm lead to more economic growth and at least tend towards more inflation and more money supply? And Powell's answer was incredibly revealing about the ineptitude and sophistry of the Fed. He said that he can't look into the future, but instead will be waiting to see how the data plays out. There are huge problems with that plan. The data on jobs is backward-looking and inaccurate. He is driving the interest rate vehicle with his feet on the steering wheel instead of his hands while looking at the rearview windshield. Hence, Powell is cutting the Fed funds rate when he should be at least standing firm on monetary policy. And by doing so, he's pouring gasoline on a potential inflation inferno. You know, we just had the CPI report come out today. And inflation ticked to higher. It's going higher. It's going further away from his asinine 2% target. And this could and should exert humongous upward pressure on long-term interest rates. This is the Achilles heel of the market and the economy, much like what occurred leading up to the 1987 crash. Overvalued stocks, rising interest rates, and the fear that the Fed was behind the inflation curve caused stocks to plummet by 23% on October 19th, 1987. Now, that can't happen today because the NYSE has circuit breakers that shut the market down if it drops 20% in one day. It also shuts trading down for 15-minute intervals when the market drops by 7% and then again by 13% intraday. Does that make you feel much better? The election does not negate the existence of the triumvirate of asset bubbles. Target date funds and passive indexed investing have pushed the amount of stock ownership to a record high and into just a handful of companies. I mean, can you really blame investors? The Fed's put has been thoroughly inculcated throughout the decades. Whenever we had a recession or periods of market illiquidity, the Fed has ridden to the rescue with trillions of dollars worth of monetary reserves. By the way, in October of 1987, the total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP was 65%. Today, it is a staggering 205% of the underlying economy. Interest rates are rising and inflation is still a salient issue. One more important point about the coming bond market collapse. When bond yields soar due to inflation and insolvency issues, there isn't a damn thing a government can do to stop it. Governments can only stimulate by borrowing and printing more money, which will only exacerbate the dynamic already in play. Now, before you get too nervous, my IDEC model was built to detect such problems in the credit markets ahead of them spilling over into asset prices and the economy. If we have a real problem in the credit markets, I will be able to. Can't promise it. That's illegal. But the model is built to detect that problem before it becomes a systemic issue. The most dangerous tactic you can have right now is to invest in the same manner as Mr. Powell is conducting monetary policy. That is, to make decisions without a model or strategy and void of any foresight whatsoever. We applied the exact opposite strategy here at PPS.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.